Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. All right, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy Podcast. This week, kids, we are officially in Country Music Month. We're starting off with
at the end of
Christmas
the month.
At the end of November.
Yeah,
it's going to bleed into December as country.
Screw up my intro every time. Come on, you bunch of weenies. All right. Anyway, now, in all seriousness, we had some stuff go on this month, but we're still going to carry on with the plan. We'll end up into the year with country music. It's no big deal. But this week, it's Chris's pick. We're doing a little California Sunrise by John Party. You guys ready to do this?
Absolutely. Anthony, what's your tagline? You've had a long time to
yeah, you've had a year to do this.
Here.
Let's see what happens.
Might have a little dirt on my boots, but we're going to dance the dust right off them today. It's the Audible Ecstasy Podcast.
I like it. That's approved.
I could have done that a little smoother. I could have done that. Let me try that one more time. Might have a little dirt on my boots, but we're going to dance the dust right off them today. It's the Audible Ecstasy Podcast.
Sounds just the same, but we'll take
it. Yeah,
I'm rusty. I haven't recorded anything since the start of November.
Man, we're all rusty. It don't matter. We're just having fun. It's the conversation that matters. And yeah, we had you on camera. And like me, when was the last time I saw you? Was it King Diamond?
It was King Diamond. Yeah.
I wasn't even on that one. So it's been a while.
And Chris wasn't here to heckle us. So it's good.
It got a cold, man. It cold.
Let me tell you, you guys did a great job on that, by the way, but I don't know if I could have participated in that one.
We know you could.
Man, that's some real music right there. Yeah.
And that's why we chose that without you.
Yeah. True.
See, fair enough.
Got to plan ahead.
The cold hit me hard, man, and I haven't recorded nothing for song lines either. This is the first time I really felt like talking on camera for over a week and a half.
That's good. Yeah, for those who don't know at home, Anthony had COVID's cousin, the cold.
Or the flu's cousin, the cold. I took a COVID test.
Kidding,
it was negative.
I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. Oh, Lord. We all go through it. It's the time of year, man. We all get sick. Kids bringing it home from school.
My kids didn't bring it home. I was the only one that got it.
God, you got to lay off the grocery store shopping, son. All right. Here we go.
Hazard
Let's
to
get
the
this
job.
Thing. We've already rambled for God. I don't even know how many minutes we've been doing this. Here we go. Let's start it off. First track. It's called Out of Style. Hit it.
About if there's anything that you don't know about, just stick around and you'll find out before too long. So I pulled out my guitar and I put my pen to paper, started working on a groove they could move to all night long. Yeah, I poured out my heart and soul, strummed the chord, next thing you know, I looked down and damn, I had this song. And it goes, Jesus saves and beer's better cold, a good one. Love not just to hold. Monday through Friday sure takes a while. We all get sideways and go that extra mile. The common ways we work and play are still alive and well today. Don't need to find a new way to say we don't go out of style. It may never seem in a billboard magazine, but then I've never been the kind to go out.
Trying to jump too early, man.
I did jump early. It was going quiet on my side, and then it picked back up again.
Well, it does the natural stop in the song, and then starts playing again.
Ah, yeah, gotcha. All right, anyway, that is an absolute amazing way to open up an album. The song is absolutely catchy. I mean, and it's just something so, I don't know, without sounding cliche, that's country about his voice. This voice fits the country music genre so well. And I remember when I first heard Party, just a couple of years back, as a matter of fact, because I haven't listened to him that long, This album was already on my radar, and I'm glad you picked it so far. I mean, this song rocks. Easily singable, catchy hook. I mean, I can't think of a better song on this record to open this record out with. I'm going to start off with the iconic mark right here off the bat. It's an 8.5. What'd you think about it, Chris?
Yeah, I agree with you on his voice. It is pure country. I think this is the perfect way to open an album, honestly. Okay. I kind of love the way he narrates. This wasn't his first album, it was his second album, but I love the way he kind of narrates what it's like to come to Nashville as a up-and-coming singer-songwriter. And, you know, he's starting his album this way, right? So, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty ingenious way to start the album. You're right about the hook. It's just catchy as it can be, man. It gets stuck in your head just immediately. It's one of the multiple songs on this album that was stuck in my head throughout the whole few weeks that we listened to it.
Oh, yeah.
I went a little higher than you, man. I don't think it's perfection, but, man, it's one of the best openers we could ask for. I gave it a 9.5. I think it's an absolutely fantastic way to start the album. Yeah.
Well, let's rock on. Anthony, out of style, what do you think?
Songfacts.com. John Party sings here of the musical advice given by old-timers to a Nashville newcomer. The song was written by Eric Church band member Jeff Hyde, Neil Mason of the Cadillac 3, and Nashville songwriter Lynn Hutton. Party told radio.com, "Out of Style is a fun song. It's got a great groove. It's kind of got a great Waylon Jennings beat to it. And it's really a cool story about a guy who moves to Nashville and kind of gets settled down and is going to write a song. It's a song within a song. It talks about how some things will never go out of style and the old ways are still here and are not going to go out of style." So pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. So yeah, man, I equal with what you guys said. Out of Style, it's rowdy, it's upbeat. It's a great way to start an album. John sounds great. No issues, no complaints. I gave it an 8. Excellent country song. So,
well, we're all...
Because I was a little high compared to you guys, but I don't know. I fanboyed it. No, dude. I thoroughly enjoyed this song. Yeah.
There's a couple of songs on here that my scores did change over the past few weeks, and the next one is going to be one of them. Let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and apologize, guys. I'm having, like, the sound is coming through weird on my end. So that's why I was, like, a little bit early. It did go down whenever it was, like, on the way down, and I just didn't wait for the pause. So just so you know.
We got the master of post production over here, so we can.
Oh, yeah, he'll fix it. Hopefully he'll edit my ignorance out before the end of that. God. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's roll on. Track 2, it's called Cowboy Hat. Guys, so the second track, Cowboy Hat, man, that one immediately starts off sounding like late 80s early 90s sound style country, and I love that, obviously, as a fan. Lyrically, it's great, easily singable, and it's just a strong country music tune. John's vocals are pure and they're so good. Now, this is how I was telling you about things change over the past couple. We've had, for those listening at home, we've had a long time to listen to this. I mean, it's been at least three, if not 4 weeks. We've all kind of known what the music was going to be. With the exception of me and Anthony, we changed ours right up in the middle of this. So Chris could be screwed up. But nonetheless, Chris stuck true to his pick. Here we go. All right. So when I originally listened to this and scored this, because we were going to the review a few weeks back, but I originally scored this as a 7. I thought it was a great song. But the more I listened to this thing, damn, this thing just it latched on to me. This is one of my favorites on the album. I'm going to give it an 8. I think it's an excellent song, and it's certainly a very, very strong track, as is most of this first half. But I'm at an 8. Chris, how'd you see Cowboy Hat?
Yeah, it definitely did kind of grow on me over the weeks as well. I'm looking at the singles on this album. There are 5 singles off.
Yeah, they missed out on this one, didn't they?
This is not one of the singles. Actually, Out of Style was not one of the singles either, which it blows my mind. I mean, those are two tremendous songs to open an album with, and neither one of them were singles. That just shows you how strong this album is, because all the singles are solid songs as well. I think it's got great subject matter. It does have that 90s feel to it. He's got several songs that have that 90s feel to it. I think it has something to do with his voice, really. He has a 90s country singer kind of voice. He sounds great. Fun song, just kind of like, you know, puts a smile on your face. He's trying to get down with his lady. You know, you can't fault the man for that. I gave it an 8 as well. I think it's an excellent song.
All right. Anthony, Cowboy Hat, what do you think?
Yeah, solid tune, great beat, catchy, singable. John and the band sound fantastic again. Nothing really more to say about it other than that. It's a 7 for me. It's a great tune, man. Probably awesome. Should go to an 8 myself. It is probably better than a 7 now. The more, you know.
Well, that's where I started, Anthony, because I thought it was great. But as I listened and listened, it got just, it's one of those things. I could come in from the car if I'd been out riding around, and it would be in my mind. I'd be singing it to myself. Yeah. So it's one of those ones that can kind of stick with you. You know what I mean? All right. Well, let's roll up track 3. It's called Head Over Boots. Chris?
I wanna sweep you off your feet tonight. I wanna love you and hold you tight. Spin you around on some old dance floor. Act like we never met before, for fun. Cause you're the one I want, you're the one I need. Baby, if I was a king, you would be my queen.
Head Over Boots. Now, this is call me crazy, but the song, the way this starts out, for some reason it gives me a Jimmy Buffett vibe. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like maybe some 80s Buffett, early 80s Buffett, I should say. Got that great shuffle going for it. Vocally, he's kind of like, he's got his little twang in his talk. I don't know how to explain it. Lyrically, it's just so easy to sing along with. I mean, I think this one is an absolute hook. I can see why this was the first release as a single. It's just a great, great, great song. I mean, John Party, this album is probably, I don't know if it's what put him in the spotlight, but this is an incredible ride so far. This strong, the album seems to be growing to me as far as strength. This is the strongest tune so far. I'm at a 9 because I think the song is absolutely outstanding. Chris, what did you think about Head Over Boots?
It's funny you mentioned Buffett. I don't get that on this song, but I was pulling clips for next week this morning, and my God, I feel like that way on half of the songs on that next album. I don't know. It feels like it's got 70s, 80s Buffett all over it.
Which album is that?
It's Jimmy's pick. I don't want to. I thought I'm going to let him announce it at the end of the
episode. I thought Anthony's is next. Doesn't it go Jimmy?
It's yours. Yes.
Really?
I pulled the clips for yours, so that's what we're doing next.
I guess we're doing mine next week, kids. All right, that's fine.
We're going to do it chronological from back to front, or front to back.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
Anyway, I don't mean to get too much on that. It's Alabama since we've spoiled it.
No, it's not. I've changed it back to Sawyer Brown.
Mountain Music. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Buffett feel on that album. But but regardless, on this one, man, first single on the album, like you said, it fits this style perfectly. It's great. An infectious chorus. It doesn't take you too many times to listen to this to just know the words. It just seeps into your subconscious.
Yeah, agreed.
I think John sounds awesome. There's a great swing to this song. If you know, he's singing about spinning his girl around on a dance floor. This feels like the kind of song you would dance to. On top of that, it just fits perfectly. Man, I'm gonna give it a 10. I think it's perfection for this genre. I think there's personally, I know everybody's given one song a 10. I think there's two 10s on this album, and I think this is
one. I don't have a single 10 on my scorecard, just so we all know that. Not really? A single 10.
Okay, well, I'd love to tell you.
Because my, because I'm purist when it comes to this stuff. These ain't pure. I'm just kidding. I don't have any 10s, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm just seeing what you guys are calling 10s. Oh, God, this is going to be ugly. All right. So Captain 10 is right here. Let's go, Anthony. What do you think about?
Songfacts.com. Party explained how a Texas dance hall served as inspiration for the song. He said, I was at a Texas dance hall with my dad, and I was just watching older people and young people two-stepping around a circle and listening to old country, and everybody seemed so happy. I just kind of soaked that in. He said, it was actually like a positive love song about growing old together, being together. It was a very easy song to write. It just kind of came out of me. And it says this features a fiddle, which gives the song an old-fashioned country sound. Party explained to Billboard magazine, there are a lot of old sayings from the 90s and aughts. Shuffles won't work on country radio. You can't have a pedal steel lead on country radio. If someone says you can't have a fiddle on country radio, this is what I grew up with. I'm helping country sound a little more country. Amen to that. This was released as the lead single from California Sunrise. Party had each song on the album recorded with a full band to create the feel of a live recording. The heart of this record comes across with a live band, he explained. We use 7 guys, 1 band, and there's something special about that. So he basically just created a concert in the studio and just recorded all these with a live band. So that's awesome. Probably why they came off so good, too.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. That's awesome, agreed. Man.
Yeah, Head Over Boots for me, it's another solid tune. It's one of the stronger songs on the album. It's singable, catchy, upbeat. I mean, what's not to like about it? It's a 9. It's outstanding. So
awesome.
Just to back my claim up a little bit, it's his highest stream song on Spotify as well.
Is it really?
Yep, 370 million streams.
Oh my God, that's crazy. That's great. I mean, it's good. It's a great song, man. It's freaking awesome. Yeah. So heck, I mean, I've starred this one for sure. Heck far. That's awesome, man. All right. Well, let's go to track.
I had to look that up because to me it felt like his most popular song. I mean, I know Dirt in My Boots is too, but I wasn't sure which one of those was listened to more, and this one is slightly beat that out. So
okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, let's go to track 4, Night Shift. Hit it, Chris.
Been a wreck, me, we, 60 plus from dawn to dusk in the red dirt heat, busting it up for a couple of bucks, but it ain't no thing, just another day till I'm on my way to them cool, cool sheets, and you and me, working on the night shift, baby. Talk, I know what you want and what you like, because I do too. Yeah, I love how you leave on.
All right, guys, so I like this song. It reminds me of Jason Aldean and the Dirt Road song. I mean, I'm gonna tell you right now, I can hear that in the background of this when I go back through my mind, as far as the, maybe it's the tempo or the beat or whatever, but there is something about the vocal delivery and the song structure that really just brings that Aldean feel into it. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's super enjoyable. I think it's another catchy song. It works in my ears. I have no complaints on this one. Easily memorizable. I mean, singing along with that one easily. I mean, it's got a rocking solo too in this song. As far as when it comes to it, somebody is just tearing it up. I don't even know who the guitarist is in this band, but he's ripping it up. I think this is somewhere between great and excellent. I'm at a 7.5. Chris, what do you think about Night Shift?
Yeah, it's definitely a nice blue-collar anthem. He's got a few of those that he does on this album. It's one of those. You know, this was a single, and I think it deservedly so. I remember listening to this. There were 3 that I was like, yeah, I know that for sure. And this one, I was just like, I kind of remember this one being on the radio back in the day. I don't think it was quite as popular as the other few big ones on it. but it's definitely a solid song. It's very radio friendly. And like I say, it's got that blue collar feel to it. I give it 7.5. I think it's between great and excellent.
Okay. Brett, Anthony, what'd you think about Night Shift?
Songfacts.com says written by Topher Brown, Philip LaRue, and Bill Montana. Party describes the tune as a working man's love song. He added, it's just a fun idea of taking like a work term and making a love story out of it. And I love the beat. It's been a wreck me week. It's just a really strong, when you start singing, you can just feel it. So I kind of like that. And me, Percy, man, I do like the way it moves and grooves. The way it bounces across the speakers. Band and John are on point once again. And I even mentioned the guitar work in this one too, Jimmy. It's solid, man. And I never thought I'd say that in a country song. But I gave it a 9. I think it's an outstanding tune. So
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Well, dude, everybody hears it different, man. That just tells you how it rocked your world. That's awesome,
man. Yeah, I mean, been enjoying this song for a bit, so it's a really good song.
It's a great tune, man.
The guitarist on this album, I don't know who he is, but he's shredding like an 80s guitarist a couple times.
Yeah, there's a couple songs he absolutely rips it up, and it's fantastic. I love it. Just love it.
Anthony, I know there was probably at least a decade where you put in your time at some of these factories and stuff. The songs like this kind of bring you back to those days at
sometimes.
All? I mean, it definitely has that like that feel to it. I don't know.
Just earning a paycheck, man.
It's a blue collar feel, is what it is, man. I mean, it just throws you right into that.
This is working your behind off for peanuts, basically, and just like
factory work ain't no joke, man. I'm telling you,
I did it for years, man. I remember those days.
Pulaski Furniture is one of the toughest ones I ever had. Pulling furniture off a line.
Nope, I'm out on that, buddy.
I had to take those 600-pound barbed wires off by yourself.
Dude, that's a young man's game right there. Can you imagine doing that at 50?
Well, 50, yeah.
They would have these armoires. You know, the big armoires. They come down on these little hooks, like on a little platform. You had to take your shoulder and push it into one side and push it off, get on the other side, pull it down, slide it across the floor, then run over and do the same thing to the next one.
What would you make an hour for that, man?
An hour.
Six.
That was in the '90s, man. That was early mid-90s.
I know.
Well, I will say this: when I was at Dana Corporation as part of the college program, all I did was put aluminum parts in a machine, let it turn it, cut it to fit whatever axle it was going to go into, and those things didn't weigh a whole lot. But it's just basically twist, turn, push, hit a button, twist, turn, push, and at least I got to listen to headphones back, cassettes back in those days, because you had your headphones on.
Man.
But I made $10 an hour then. That was 91, 92, and 93.
Mine was a temp job, so a lot of mine were temp jobs. It probably was a little less for that.
They probably paid the temp company $10 an hour, and you got the the remainder is what it was,
Yeah.
But, dude, no, I remember those days. God,
bad memories.
All right, let's kick those bad memories behind us. Let's go to track 5. It's called Can't Turn You Down. Hit it, Chris.
You're like a highway to a rebel that's ready to run. A no trespass sign on a barbed wire jump that I can't resist. That's just the way it is. You're a don't touch red button I wanna push. A bat for me that feels so good. And we both know I can't say no. Cause a phone call turns into a what's up, turns into baby, can you pick me up? Hey, I'm downtown and I don't wanna go home after two left turns. It's you and me alone. Turns into tangled up on my couch with you slipping your kisses right across my mouth. And that turns into later on, lights turned out. Cause I can't turn you.
All right, Can't Turn You Down. This one's a little slow down, and it's a song, a little focus on a loved one, I believe. There's true story to these lyrics for sure, for me anyway. I mean, I lived it, loved it, and ended up marrying it. This is a song that's tough to rate. I'll be honest with you. It's great or it's excellent. I don't know. It's hard to decide, but after so many listens to this song, I went that route. I think it's excellent. I mean, it's so good. I mean, this is something I can absolutely listen to over and over again. I gave this one an 8, and man, this album's rocking so far. Chris, what'd you think about Can't Turn You Down?
Yeah, again, we had 5 singles on this. This is not one of them. It feels like a radio.
No, and it could have been. Yes,
I know. It feels like a radio-friendly single. Very solid song. Like you said, man, it has that. It's not really ballad. It's not. It's kind of like a mid-tempo slash ballad song, and that's very popular in country music right now. So he's kind of like hitting the sweet spot for what's on the radio these days. It absolutely could have been a single. Probably should have been. I'm looking at my score. I might have come in a little low, and I gave it 7. I thought it was great, but I'll tell you, I can't disagree with an 8 on that. It's a solid tune.
Well, that's awesome, man. All right, Anthony, what did you think about Can't Turn You Down?
I like the mid. Like I said, I like the mid tempo pace of it. It's got a nice chill vibe. You know, once again, John and the band sound fantastic. It's another solid country song from start to finish that actually sounds country. In a country music world, trying not to sound country, I like that aspect of it too. And I have no complaints. Once again, it's an 8. It's an excellent tune. So
awesome. Fantastic. All right. Well, let's crank this thing up. Track 6, Dirt on My Boots.
Since the crack of dawn, just trying to get paid. Been hotter than 100 suns, I can't find no shade. Just 2 more rows and I'm good to go. Yeah, I'm shutting this tractor down. Give me a half an hour for a shave and a shower, and I'll be outside your house. Might have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Might have a little mud on my wheels, but they gonna shine with you up inside. Gonna hit the club, gonna cut a rug, burn it up like neon lights. Might have a little dirt on my boots, but we're gonna dance the dust right off them tonight. Yeah, got a little dirt on my boots. Hard as I worked all day, I'm gonna work hard to loving on you.
All right. So, man, Dirt on My Boots. This is a working man's tune for sure. I love the banjo picking. I love the groove, even if it does have a little bit of a new country flavor going on. This is probably what Anthony hates is the voice modulation, because I know he's anti-voice modulation, like how the folks that do it today, the Morgans, the sometimes the Lukes, the folks that, you know, that are out there in country music today, they'll add that little hint of modulation to keep it kind of in tune.
This
nonetheless,
doesn't bother me. Because it's not overly done.
No, it's not. It's only in the chorus. It's only in the chorus. And, it works. Absolutely works. I think normally, like Anthony said, sometimes it drives you crazy if you hear something like that. And I guess you guys didn't even hear it. That's just tells you how good the song is when you can't notice the stuff. Here I am nitpicking it for no reason, because I still think the song is just absolutely fantastic. Obviously, the second single, and it's well worthy. It's hard to believe this was released in 2016 as a single. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Unbelievable. I think it's outstanding. I mean, I'm not going to be as high as you two are, you bunch of pipe smokers, but I am at a 9. Let's go, Chris. What do you think about Dirt on My Boots?
I think it's probably the first song ever heard by the guy and knew it was him. You know,
it's the first song I heard by him.
And it's definitely a blue collar anthem yet again, like we were saying. He's got a few of those on this album. That chorus is just so infectious, man. I think maybe if there is any vocal modulation, I didn't even realize it because I'm not paying attention to it. It's just the chorus is great and you're just singing it. Like, it gets stuck in your head so fast when you listen to it. It's a very fun song. This is the kind of thing I'd be listening to on a boat in the summer, man. I'm sure this is on one of my playlists for that. I think it's a 10, man. I think it's perfection. It's exactly what you're supposed to have in this genre. And like I said, the first song, it just hooked me immediately. It's hard not to give this a 10.
That's awesome. All right, Anthony, Dirt on My Boots.
Songfacts.com. Rhett Atkins, Jesse Frazier, and Ashley Gourley's original demo for Dirt was much more modern than Party's final recording. Dirt on My Boots is a very club honky-tonk kind of song, Party told Radio.com. The demo was way out there. It was super hip-hop. But I loved the lyrics. The lyrics were so country. They were talking about getting off work, getting on a tractor. He's going to pick up his girl. He's got dirt on his boots. I just loved that. That really appealed to me. So we took it and we made it country, made it more country. And then it also goes on to say, it had robot voices, Party recalled. It had a big woo, and it was like really cool done. I'm not hating on that, but it wasn't me. And I couldn't, myself as an artist that's somewhere kind of making his own line, I couldn't come out with that. So the way we took it and made it, like it's real country, but also modern, and it's kind of real swampy, and it has a ganja rolling through it. It really came out like this is my take on that kind of song. I don't know what ganjo is. G-A-N-J-O. I don't know what that is exactly. It's not ganja. I need some ganja right now.
Get some Bob Marley rolling through there.
I will say that I believe Party partakes in the ganja.
It says it's kind of real swampy, and it has a ganjo rolling through it. Swampy and ganjo. I don't know. Is that some type of
I was going to say it's probably mistyped. It should be a banjo because it has a banjo rolling right through it. Swampy and banjo.
And it's kind of real swampy. It has a banjo rolling through it. Yeah, that probably makes more sense. I've been trying to figure out what ganjo was all week.
Well, I knew the banjo stood out to me in my ears, so, and it does in a lot of his songs, so that's, yeah, it has to be what it is. It's got to be mistyped, man. That's got to be, I don't know what a ganjo is either, but.
Maybe there is something ganjo out there. I don't know. I don't know these new funky new, these new kids these
crazy
days.
Words these kids are using nowadays. Bet.
I've got a theory on this song, and I've kind of like just discovered a few things about it.
Theory.
One of the main writers is a guy named Ashley Gourley. Mm-hmm. He is the country songwriter of the year for 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. He's written for Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean, Florida Georgia Line, Blake Shelton, Bon Jovi, Kelsey Ballerini, Morgan Wallen, Dan and Shay. He's clearly the it songwriter in this town. And they probably brought him in to make a hit for this album because this is really his. I mean, he did have one before, but. That's probably why you have that vocal modulation. That's what these bro country guys do, and that's what he writes basically.
Holy
so,
crap!
Yeah, I think that's basically why you got that there. And I mean, the guy's a good songwriter. Obviously, you look at all the people he's written for. Plus, Red Atkins. Interesting.
Red Atkins ain't no joke. Yeah, that's awesome.
And another guy named Jesse Frazier, who's some DJ. It says I don't know. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, they did it right. Fantastic tune. Fantastic tune.
So don't judge him too harshly for the little bit of vocal modulation in there. I'm sure.
Sit back in your seat and you listen to my complaints, sir.
Do you mean?
Please continue, Anthony. Please.
Oh, I'm
please
sorry. Continue. I thought you finished with your view. weren't you?
No, I just read the soundeffects.com.
He's still going. Sorry. Sir.
It's okay.
I think Jimmy was about to cut me off too. So
I was getting ready to kick. I was just in shock what Chris was saying. That's
we've
all
got some rust on our boots today, don't we?
We definitely got some rust on our boots. Yeah, that should have been the tagline right there.
Got a little rust.
We got a little rust on our boots, but we're going to kick them off today. There we go.
Yeah. You know, man, this song, it's a 10. It's perfection. It's catchy yet beat, full of energy. One of the best guitar solos in all of country. Yes. And it gives me great vibes. My kids, years ago, used to love the song when they were little. They still get a little snicker when it comes on now. But when they were little, we get in the car, we had to hear this song all the time.
No kidding. So,
Yeah. I had a little country phase from like about 2011 to about 2018-ish around that time. And I was kind of into Aldean and Church and Party.
Yeah, sure. That's all the big ones right there, man.
Luke Bryan, some of these guys. Listen to all those guys. I just get a Pandora playlist of Luke Bryan or Aldean and they just play all these guys. And I was kind of on this album for a while. So, in fact, I got my dad this album for Christmas a couple years ago and wound up getting a free MP3 from it. So I got the MP3 and he got the actual CD. So, kind of worked out perfect. So, but yeah, I've been a big fan of this album for a while. So when Chris announced it, I was like, awesome, let's do it. Yeah. I don't have to do any work. I just go listen to it one time and I do my review. I get my week off, man. I'm good.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. So, all right.
But it's a 10.
Yep. I agree. I probably came in low.
Jimmy totally dropped the ball.
You know what? That's what I'm here for. I'm here to bring you guys down.
I'm telling you.
Because I'm keeping it real, you bunch of bums. All right. Anyway. Let's go to track number 7. It's She Ain't It. Or She Ain't In It. Sorry. She Ain't In It.
Say it's been at least a month since I've had any fun. Buddy, I'll admit it. Yeah, I'm into going out. Think I'm ready for a crowd. Long as she ain't in it. Don't wanna hear her name. I don't wanna see her face. I swear. I know it's gonna hurt if I run into her somewhere. We could hit that place down by state, out past the city limits. Hang out all night long, hear a country song, long as she ain't in it.
All right, so She Ain't In It. I mean, this song instantly reminds me of something that George Strait would write.
I'm getting to that in a minute in song
vocally,
facts.
John owns this song, but it certainly, as a fan of Strait, it actually made me immediately go to George Strait.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man.
Wow. I love the guitar licks riddled throughout the song. I think it's a very good song. It brings the pace down a little because we have literally been rocking for the most part 6 tracks in. And maybe it's just too late to put a slow one in at my ears. I don't know. I gave it very good. I'm at a 6. Chris, what'd you think about She Ain't In It?
Ouch.
Yeah, this is one of the singles on this album.
I know.
Yeah, man.
It's very good. I said it's very good.
You know, I'll tell you what, man. I didn't realize this was a single until I researched it. The other ones I knew were singles. It took me a little while to realize that Night Shift. I think after a few listens, like, this seems too familiar to me to not have been on the radio in the past. But I don't ever remember this one being on the radio.
Right.
It definitely, George Strait. It's Strait worship. It's my first note. It absolutely has that 90s throwback sound. Maybe even 80s throwback. I don't know. I gave it 7.5. I will say this. That's between great and excellent, Anthony, just to be clear. I remember.
Idiot.
When I first heard
God.
It, I was lower in it, and it grew on me every listen. It really did. And to the point, I was like, man, once I put that George Strait comparison in there, I was like, yeah, this is a solid tune. I'll stick with my 7.5. I could round it to an 8. I'm not going any higher.
You should round it to an 8.
Okay, I'll round it to an 8. If it makes
don't sound so stupid on this podcast.
It's okay to sound like me.
Jimmy's already dumbed it down. So
I've dumbed it.
He's gone.
I said it's very
he's
good.
He's drifting out the sea.
George Strait. You compared it to George Strait and then gave it a 6. Do you realize
I will compare it to George Strait because George Strait didn't do this. Had George Strait sang this might have been a 7.5. I don't know.
Well, let's get to song facts. Maybe you'll understand why George Strait has involved
I don't know
this
if I can. I don't know if I can not go forward without arguing it with both of you guys right now at this point. So go ahead, Anthony. Continue.
Songfacts.com. The moment John Pardee first listened to this Clint Daniels and Wynn Varble penned song about an ex, he wanted it for his California Sunrise album. It says the singer recalled, "When I first heard it, I had to listen to it over and over again, and it was just like so George 1980s George Strait." Man, who's writing song facts? I don't know. I need to edit these myself next time. I just copy and paste them when it sounds a little interesting. And it was just like 1980s George Strait and just something that I hadn't heard in a long time. I had to record this. I have to. There's no question. When I heard it, I was like, this is on the record. This has to be on the record. I want this. This is mine. Trying to be anything but just pure country. It's got that heartbreak to it, and it's got that moving on and just very good lyrics and a great melody. And it was one of my favorites to ever call mine. It's going to be great. If you like country music, you're going to like this song. Now, this is how George Strait plays into this. George Strait actually had the song on hold But when the veteran artist made it available, Party quickly snatched the tune up. So George Strait was set to pen, according to songfacts.com, who has nothing but typos this morning. George Strait had this on hold, and Party said, "Please God, let me have it." And he got it.
Well, these people straight, hey, George Strait, in other words, and Strait never picked it up. That's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't. So if you hear
it feels like a George Strait song, big time, man. I could totally hear him singing this.
And Party's one of the few that can make it sound this good other than George Strait.
He has a straight kind of feel to him sometimes, man.
When he sings songs like this, he does. Absolutely. Yeah. Holy smokes. All right.
I mean, making my review or not.
We might let you have it. I don't know, man. Just do what you can.
Jimmy keeps trying to cut me off. We really are rusty this morning. My throat's getting raw, too. Oh, hold on. It's been rough, man, for a few weeks. This is a great country ballad, man. It's no issues, no complaints. I gave it a 9. It's an outstanding tune. Simply love it. I mean, if you love country and love country sounding songs, I don't see why you'd ever give anything lower than a 9 on this one. So it's outstanding. So
fair enough. Fair enough. Are you done?
I honestly feel like the words outstanding and excellent are basically synonyms. So this is where you put it on the
Chris,
scale, man.
Basically, you're drifting out to sea, and I will save you after that, Jimmy. He's gone.
Not me.
Jimmy's gone. We give this a 6.
A very good,
Lord,
man.
I gave this
with good George Strait in it and classic country with Ivory. Yeah, come on, man.
God. Yeah, I thought I'd be the low one on this. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I am, because I keep it real.
Real stupid.
All right, let's go to the next track. It's called All Time High. Hit it.
Midnight trip ride. Yeah, you're stronger than moonshine. My backwoods homegrown, baby, you so fine. Girl, I wanna roll you up and smoke ya. So addicting every time I get to hold ya. You're my dealer and I'm your love junkie. I don't care, I'll spend all my money. Oh,
I'm going to skip this song. Yeah, it's just not that good. Oh, my God. All right, so it's a slow acoustic opening. I mean, John Party's got droning vocals at the beginning. It really, I'm at this point, I'm like, I'm going to either let this go or I'm going to continue. I continue. And I'm not sure what caused this feeling. I don't know what it is. This is one I could skip. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's a bad song. It just doesn't grab me like the rest of this album, because the rest of this album is fairly stellar at this point. It just didn't grow on me at all. Maybe it would over time. I probably listened to this thing maybe a half a dozen times in the past few weeks. I just found myself wanting to skip. I just can't stand it. I don't know what it is. Sorry, John. You probably play it live all the time. I don't know, but God. Anyway, I was going to give this a meh, but I'll give this a 4.5. That's where I'm at. That's how I see it. Jeez. Sorry, John. All right, Chris.
Chris's flush of the week.
Yeah. I have to agree with you, man. It's not great. And to be sandwiched between two tremendous songs on top of that, it just makes it show the weaknesses. You know, I will say at the beginning, it feels a lot like that Travis Tritt song, It's a Great Day to Be Alive, the way the song kicks in. But then he starts singing and it's just like, no, it's not that. I'm with you, man. I think the chorus is pretty good, but the verses in between are just the worst part of this album. I didn't go quite as low as you did, but I did give it a 5. I think So is it good?
That's good.
I think it's good. I think the chorus makes it good. If it was just on those verses, it'd be lower than that. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 5.
Fair enough. Anthony?
Definitely the weakest song on this album.
Yeah. What do you think about All Time High,
Anthony? I actually gave it an 8. I think it's an excellent tune. I don't feel like talking too much more, though, because my throat's starting to bug me. But I think it's 8. It's got a solid guitar solo, nice follow-up to the last song. It works from start to finish, so I have no issues with it.
All right. Fair enough. Let's move it up to track 9. It's called Heartache on the Dance Floor.
Yeah, I was just hanging out some little West Coast town. Found a bar out by the sand, so I made my way in. First thing that caught my eye, like nothing I ever seen, sunburned auburn hair, a California dream. Yeah, she was shaking them hips, some old Motown song. I couldn't say a thing, so I sang along. She was a heartache on the dance floor.
So Heartache on the Dance Floor, I do like the more modern tone in the drum and guitar on this song. This is how I worded it. It makes up for the previous travesty. I really like everything about the song, with the exception of the repeated vocal lines that makes John's vocal sound a little off in my ears. Overall, the song is somewhere between great and excellent, and that's how I rate it. I gave this one a 7.5. Chris, what'd you think about Heartache on the Dance Floor?
Another one of the three big hits singles on this album.
Yeah, it's a big one. I know.
It had over 300 million on Spotify as well. It was definitely a solid hit. I like it quite a bit. I feel like it's got a very catchy chorus. It's got it just brings you in, that hook does. I don't think it's quite as good as the other two really big ones on this album. But I give it a 9 because I feel like I think it's a solid tune. Okay, maybe 9. Maybe that's a little high. Maybe I should downgrade that to 8.5. I was just thinking this was a big hit for him. Somehow he manages to take like a poppy song and make it feel country, and just purely through his vocals and nothing else.
His vocals, yeah.
Because if you put like, you know, other people on this song, it would not feel country at all. But the way he does it, it does. So yeah, I'm a on the fly. I rarely downgrade one on the fly, but I was too high. I'm gonna go 8.5.
Rarely, if ever, happens. It's the first, kids. This is the first. I'm pretty sure of it.
No, I've done it before, but this is definitely, yeah.
All right.
First tonight.
Anthony, get us through this one. Heartache on the Dance Floor.
Yeah, Party, according to songfacts.com, Party was thinking of a West Coast beach town when he penned this song. He said, I kind of wrote it with like San Diego kind of style of town or Venice Beach in my mind, just because there was a couple of times I spent out there. So I like that aspect of it. Nice little beach song. Party came up with the songs Where She At, Where She At, Where She At Tonight, hook while staying in a hotel, and sang it into his phone. He saved the Heartache on the Dance Floor title with it. So he had that hook in his head and the title, and he's like singing into his phone. So kind of interesting awesome. How these hit songs come about sometimes. You know, I do like the sound of this one. It's upbeat and catchy. It's danceable. It's one of the few songs where John turns a little more modern. But it still works. You know, his voice still makes it work, like you guys said. Mm-hmm. I think it's an 8. Excellent tune, man. So it's. I don't usually like the very poppy, upbeat country songs, but I do like when Party does it. It must be his making voice.
Poppy, even country. You know, it's weird.
He does. Yeah. He does. All right, guys, let's roll to track number 10. It's called Paycheck. Chris?
Gonna spend it, yeah, cause I earned it, yeah. working all the time, gonna drink it, yeah. Make it worth it, yeah. Straight from the bank to the honky tonks, burning a whole paycheck. Won't you take my blues away? Paycheck, won't you take my blues away? Yeah, I've been waiting on you since Monday, and it's work, 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 and I need a break. Won't you take my blues away? Should I save it? No, cause I'm buying rounds like I'm crazy. 2 for 1 for the ladies.
All right, guys, so paycheck. Yeah, I got a paycheck. Yeah, this is a blue collar song if there was should one lyrically. It's blue collar lyrically. It's the struggle of life and monetary issues. This song may have the potential to be a grower, but not to me. I'm not completely hating on it, but it's missing something to my ears. And I maybe they should have had James Hetfield guest the vocals on that and go, yeah. But I don't know, man. I didn't realize John Party was a yeah guy this whole time. Oh, and it makes sense why he actually covered a Metallica song later in his career. So, you know.
Which song did he cover by Metallica?
Wherever I May Roam.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's bad. It's a pretty good version, to be honest with you. It's decent. Yeah, for sure. But you know what? It's still a good country song, and that's kind of how I rate this one. I gave it a 5. I don't think it's worthy of anything else. It's because that one song has all the yes in it, and then we get this song, it's got a bunch of damn yes in it. I'm like, it is what it is. I'm at a 5. Chris, what did you think about Paycheck?
You know, yeah. I will say definitely another blue-collar anthem. This is probably the most blue-collar anthem song on this album, actually. At first, I thought it was kind of lame. I'll be honest. I think, honestly, the first time I listened to it, I was like, this is probably the flush. But I'll be honest, man. The more I listen to this, the more I just, I appreciate the humor in the song. And it's got a great catchy chorus to it when it kicks in. It's a fun song, man. It's, you know, like okay. The other one, All Time High. No, that didn't feel like ironic like this one did a little bit. Like you know what I mean? Like he's kind of like he's in on the joke on this song. I don't think he was on the other one. I gave it 7. I think it's a great song. By the way, I didn't catch it, but the guitar solo rocks like hell in this song too. So like, got to give him credit. He's got a guitarist like putting in some work.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a 7. Yeah, that's where I am.
Fair enough. Anthony, what'd you think about Paycheck?
Yeah, you know, it's a throwback song. Like the theme is very throwback. Working all week, drown your sorrows on Friday, having a good time with your buddies, trying to race a week of work. And I do enjoy that. I think it's an 8, man. I gave it an excellent again. Most of these songs just really hit for me. And this is another one just hits. The chorus is great. John sounds great. Guitar soloist is doing his best 80s impersonation again. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. I like it. So.
See, I think Jimmy's never actually put in a hard day's work, so he doesn't quite get where we're coming from on this, man.
I agree. I wouldn't know jack crap about putting in a 10 or 12 hour
day. I'll say one thing. I never wanted to spend my paycheck on Fridays. Most time on Fridays, I was lucky to get the cable paid, the bills paid.
We're not going to talk about what I wanted to do on Fridays.
And crash out on the couch. That's usually what I wanted to do on Fridays.
You want to go take it to the bar and spend it on some ladies.
Man, I had bills to pay, man.
God. So I had bourbon and beer to drink. Oh, my God. Anyway,
you were spending it like parties suggesting is what you were doing.
I did. I lived it that way. All right. Let's go to Lucky Tonight. Track 11. Hit it, Chris.
Left the bath 3 weeks ago. A single man is a new thing, but I've been here before. Oh, and I'm a drinking, I'm a smoking, I'm a looking round. Yeah, I need a stranger, break some new ground, and maybe I'll get lucky tonight. Find me a girl, take my heart and go away. Set sail blue. I see you another day. Wouldn't that pass on to the song. A melody pulling out my heartstrings, but a love gone wrong.
All right, so Lucky Tonight. There's a tone in this song. I think it may be a mellotron that's been playing. And this is weird. That very first drum beat reminds me of Led Zeppelin. Call me crazy, but I could hear like a little Led Zeppelin. You know, I don't know what it is. Almost Moby Dickish. I don't know. But nonetheless, I think it's a decent follow up to Paycheck. I think this is one of the, this song is a little better, but not by much. This point, I feel like the second half is dragging. It's not definitely not as good as the first half of this album. And I think that may have been possibly the reason why some of my scores are lower on the second half, because it just doesn't grab me as much as the first half. And I'm taking it out on a couple of these tunes. I get it. I'm not saying the song is bad. Once again, it's not a bad song. I just, you know what? It's solid. I gave it a 5.5. I think it's somewhere between good and very good. I think he phoned it in. I'm sorry. It sounds like lyrically he phoned this one in. Chris,
lucky. I don't hear that at all.
Well, you know, I do think, okay, let me start with saying it. I think he uses the same riff for Night Shift and just dropped it in this song. It feels very similar to that if you listen to it and think of the Night Shift song when you're listening to it.
Phone it in.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with you on this one, man. I hate to say it.
He hates to agree with me. For those listening at home, he hates to agree with me.
Well, awesome. I think for most country music albums in this era, this would have been a pretty good, you know, solid tune, right? On this album, full of great songs, it kind of feels like filler a little bit. I don't think it's
overshadowed. I agree.
Yeah, I it's not a bad song, and I think it's got a decent chorus, decent hook. Like I say, same riffs as Night Shift. So I mean, Night Shift's a good song, right? But yeah, I do think it's borderline filler. I gave it 5.5. I think it's between good and very good.
Hey.
But okay. It, one of the weaker songs. And honestly, there's 12 songs on this album. He could have cut this and probably all-time high, and I'd have been fine with that. And oh, it'd been a very strong album if he'd have done that. Yeah, Already a very strong album. But you know.
All right, Anthony. Lucky Tonight.
I mean, I like this one too, guys. It's like the guitar solo. It's singable, catchy. I give another 8. I think it's excellent, man. But like I said, I've been a fan of this album for a bit, so I've had a long time to listen to this one. So my opinion is probably a little bit different than you guys. So,
do you think there's any filler on this album, Anthony, by chance? Or like,
I don't know, man. I mean, I think for a 12 song album, it's pretty solid. I don't think there's anything really that really dips for me at all. Even Cowboy Hat, I gave a 7 to, which maybe is a little bit of a dip for me. But that's a solid tune too. Yeah. I think in an era when they're just overloading albums, I think these 12 songs actually work. I don't feel like a lot of fillers on this one. I think some albums, yeah, you could cut it down and make it tighter, but this one, there's not really anything I would want to cut. I like all these songs. So
if he'd cut those two songs out, Chris, you're talking about a 35, 36 minute album. There's no way country music would allow it. He was forced to put on some extra tunes, I believe, just to get it above the 40 minute mark.
That's just my opinion. If we could go back in time and force guys to put records out and cassettes.
What'd you give this, Chris? Or Anthony, you gave it an 8?
8. I think it's an excellent tune.
So it's better than Cowboy Hat. Wow.
Yeah, I like it a little better than Cowboy Hat. Looking at Cowboy Hat
how you listen to it, man. I mean, I get it.
Listen to the Cowboy Hat this morning. I'll probably go back to an 8 on that one, too. And just take the everything else at an 8, you know, for me personally. So
Sure. All right. Well, that's fair enough. Let's go finish the record. Track 12. California Sunrise.
Yeah. Pretty soon it was raining up in Seattle. About her felt like home. Yeah, and that California sunrise.
All right, guys. California Sunrise closing out this album. Yeah. The rocking vibe on this song as the record does close out. It's the strongest track on the second half of the album to my ears. I think it's probably the perfect. I'm joking about the yes. Get it. Don't get me wrong, guys. I mean, he knows how to use it, I guess. But I mean, I think this is the perfect closer. This might be my sleeper song on the record, as weird as that may sound. Really, really, really fantastic tune. And it's the perfect way to close a record. I mean, there's not another song on this one I would want to hear close it out, because it kind of summarizes this journey, if you will, for this record. I think it's excellent. I gave this one an 8, and that's where I stand. Chris, what'd you think about California Sunrise?
I couldn't agree more. It is the absolute perfect closer for this album. He starts with Out of Style coming in. Perfect way to bookend this album, in my opinion, yeah, actually.
Agreed.
Talking about coming to Nashville, how to write songs, how to make it in Nashville. Final song talking about coming home to his, you know, back to his hometown, right? And to his, probably roots, his girl or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you know, just perfect way to close it. I agree with you. Is it a sleeper? I mean, it's the title track of the album. It wasn't a single. I'm surprised. Single. It's a tremendous song. I didn't give it a 10, man, but I gave it a 9.5. I think it's an absolutely strong, strong closer. Another one that probably got stuck in my head all week. Man, it'd get to the point where, you know, I'd be driving to work playing this album and I'd play that song and I'd just hit rewind rewind it and play it again. Like I'd let it play twice because I wanted to just listen to it multiple times when driving, you know. I mean, it's that good a song. There's not too many songs I feel that way about, really. Right. Yeah. Very, very, very strong closer. 9.5 for me.
All right, Anthony, what do you think about California Sunrise?
Man, I love this one. This has been a favorite of mine by his for a while now. It's got a great vibe. It's a perfect driving song. It's a perfect song for sitting on a beach with your friends and just chilling. I mean, it's just a fantastic way to close this album. I gave it a 9. I think it's outstanding. I could almost go 10 perfection if I wanted to be, you know, a little more biased, I guess. But I think it's an outstanding tune, man, start to finish. I've loved this song for a while. So, yeah. So it's a 9.
All right. Well, so you guys are really high on it. I think it's an excellent way to close out. I mean, I get it. I can see where you're coming from on it, because after hearing the second half, I mean, I could almost see a 9 in my eyes as well. But I'm going to summarize and just give you some final thoughts on this record, this listen we've had here for the past few weeks. And I will start by this. I was a fan of Party prior to even making the selection, and it's because of so many good songs he had released as singles. I mean, it was all over country radio, and I'd only been listening to him for a couple of years. Unlike Anthony had this from the beginning, I guess, whenever he released this. So you've got to enjoy this ride that he's been on for years. I started this a couple of years ago and been a fan of his vocals since, kind of like what I've done with Cody Johnson over the past couple of years. Jumped into his line of music, and they both had that traditional sound to their vocals, and that's something I love. And this is how it started. Man, there's something so familiar in John Party's voice. It harkens back to the late 80s, early 90s vocal styles, and it reminds me of so many of these 90s country solo artists, with the exception of some yeahs in here. I mean, he overuses it, let's face it. Nonetheless, the album is still extremely solid. It's a hit. I've enjoyed listening to this one for the last little bit. It's been fantastic. I was able to go back and listen through most of his catalog, and I'd already listened to most of his albums up to this point. I hadn't listened to his first album, his debut album, and finally gave that a listen recently. And so, you know what? The man he's a rock star. I can see why he's on these top billings of some of these tours with the Luke Bryans out there. And I get it. His name may not be as big as Luke Bryan, but in my ears, he's just as good as Luke Bryan. And apparently the man is just a legend out in California, from what I could read. He was an up and comer and then just blew up. That's just an awesome story. One of these albums you can easily put the music into shuffle, let it play anyway, and you're not going to be disappointed. I think you can bring this out at any occasion and bring out some smiles to everybody that's a fan of country music. Highly recommend him. Overall came to be about a 7.2. I'm good with that. I think it's somewhere between great and excellent listen. You know, it's plagued by 3 mediocre songs in my ears. That's all. That's all. Chris, what do you think about California Sunrise? Final thoughts.
Well, this is the second year in a row that when we had our country music month that I picked a song or an album More really the artist. I was just looking because, you know, last year was Eric Church. I knew Eric Church was respected by his peers, and that was part of the reason I wanted to pick him. And this year, very similar. I knew John Party is respected by his peers. And it's like, you know, I don't know his music well enough, so I'm going to selfishly pick an album so I can learn his music. And I think I nailed the pick. I mean, this is a tremendous album. There are five singles on this album. All five of them are really good songs. And then two or three more that could have easily been singles that weren't. I mean, and yeah, you're right. I think maybe two songs on this album that I'm like, eh. But, right, you know, right. Out of 12 songs, if there's only two that you're like, okay, they're okay, but they're not great. I mean, that's a strong album, the way I look at it.
It's strong.
Yeah. John's definitely got that 90s country feel when he wants to. And he meshes that in with, like, modern country, if you will. Even the more poppy songs don't feel that way because of his vocal stylings, I think. So, I think he's a tremendous musician. He's definitely on my bucket list now. Anytime he comes close by, I'm going to want to try to go see him perform because I feel like he's... And I've seen some clips of him live, and he's a tremendous live performer as well. So, that doesn't surprise me at all. He's got the
vocals. He can work the crowd. Yeah, I did the same thing. I watch a ton of live videos, man. Unreal.
Not much more to say on it. I enjoyed the pick. I thought it was, you know, a lot of great songs, and I'm not surprised that I liked it as much as I did because everything I've heard from the guy, actually his new album's tremendous. I thought about picking that one as well, but I didn't. I just felt like this is taking us back to the beginning in a way on him. So yeah, when I did my score, it was 7.9. I'm round it to 8. I think it's an excellent album.
Awesome. Anthony, what are your final thoughts, California Sunrise?
Sorry. You're okay, yeah, man. It's a great pick, man. You know, I, been a fan of this one for a bit, fan of what Party's bringing to country music. And maybe if we keep a few people like John Party around, maybe country won't get too lost in the modern age. So, yeah, I give it an 8.5. That's where my final score came out to be.
Wow.
Between excellent and outstanding. Problematic should be a little bit higher than that. I mean, I love this album. It's one of my favorites of the new country era and probably top 10 of the new country era, I would think.
I can't argue that, man. So. It's awesome. It's-
8.5. I will say I gave his Christmas album a listen, and I didn't make it all the way through.
Same. It came out last week or maybe the week before last.
Good.
Anthony. It's okay.
It's just some of the songs. I get a little tired of Santa drinking beer with people, and it's like every country artist, Santa's got to drink beer. Santa's got to drive a truck. Santa's got to hop up a sleigh. I mean, you could just Santa's go get on a train. You know, it's Santa's getting out of prison. I'm just saying it's all.
Getting out of prison.
I'm just saying. Actually, I'm throwing back
God,
to the
what
old.
What kind of music are you listening?
Sounds what's like a Jelly Roll song right there.
No, it's the old song, David Allan Coe. He had that song years ago. What was the name of that song?
I don't know, but man, I got to hear it now.
At the end of the song, he breaks down like a talk. And he goes like, someone told me this isn't the perfect country song because it didn't involve mamas, it didn't involve prison, it didn't involve trains or drinking. So the last minute of that song, he's like, I was drunk the day I got out of prison. My mama came to see me in the pouring rain. It's an old David Allan Coe song. It's an awesome tune, but check it out sometime. But anyways, there's one great song on the Party Christmas album. That's A Christmas in the Keys. I did not expect a Christmas song about keys from John Pardee, but he nailed that one. It's good. I mean, the album's fine. It's just, it's getting a little tired of drinking with Santa. It's like, okay, guys, I get the cliche, you know? So anyways, but it's my two cents.
Fair enough.
But as far as this album goes, it's tremendous, right?
Yeah. I need to actually probably dust off his new one. I haven't listened to it in a while. I've listened to several of his other ones, of course, you know, beyond this one, but I haven't listened to his new one yet. So
good stuff.
I haven't been in his country as much as I used to be.
It's waves for me too, man. It comes in waves.
I feel the same way. I took a long vacation from country music and came back, and basically, honestly, it's probably because of this podcast when we started doing Country Month back, you know, a couple of years back. So realistically, it's been on my constant rotation. At some point in time, I've got country playing now. It's weird.
I think for me, it's when we got that pontoon boat to take out of the lake. I mean, you can't sit out there on a Saturday in the summer with a ice cold beer in your hand and not listen to country music, man. It's just, it's part of it, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I agree. I agree. It's perfectly. That's the country life for sure. All right.
Even the poppy countries, it's good out there on a, you know, day like that. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. Cause it does fit the bill. It fits the bill. All right. It's time for a pick and I guess it's mine.
let me go ahead and get the tune out of here.
You can cue it.
And in this corner, weighing in at approximately 200 pounds, is the master of metal, the guru of guitar, and a lover of all things harmonica. He's our fearless leader. It's Jimmy with his pick of the week.
Guys, so obviously country month, we've gone back. I'm going back a little bit further. We're going into the 80s and I'm going with something that is arguably one of the better albums of the genre from that time. I would dare say it's one of my favorite bands in all of country music. It's going to be Slayer with Hella Waits. We're going to be doing one of the it's Alabama. It's Mountain Music. It's just a staple listen for most country fans. If you grew up like we did, this is something that was probably played at some point in time in your youth, or you've heard it. Man, I think it's going to be a fun listen. I know you guys have had a head start on it and listened to it a few times, so can't wait to get into that discussion.
Is that next week or is that the week after next?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be next week or the week after. Whatever you guys want to do,
I'm good doing next. I went ahead and pulled the clips, so you know, in advance.
So you can be ready.
I've listened to this album quite a bit this week, actually. So.
Oh, really? That's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to it much at all. It's truth.
Dude, I'm
sorry. I didn't really need to listen to it this week. So.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. It's Thanksgiving weekend too coming up, so everybody's home for me. So it might be tougher for me to get stuff done. So we'll see how it goes. I don't have my normal day on time, so. When everybody's home.
Sure. Well, that's fair enough. All right, guys. Well, Anthony, what do you got going on this week? I know that you've been dropping a couple podcasts here and there.
If I get my voice back, I've got like four episodes lined up that I want to record and put together. One, Kenny Chesney's Be As You Are, a couple of something called Duets and Covers I was going to do over the summer. And then I got Jimmy's new album. I've got it all written up, Equal Strain on All Parts. Highly recommend that album. It's an amazing album start to finish. I got that written up too, and I got to record it. So probably going to be my longest episode ever once I get it done. But it's deserved. His last studio album. I think it deserves it. It deserves
you're reviewing every song just one by one through and talking about it.
Yeah. Oh, dude,
talking about the album, some of the information about it too. So
I really wish we could have done that one on ours, but I've listened to it as well, and I think I was shocked at how good it was, considering it's his final release, and it's got some strong songs on it. Oh my God.
Maybe next year we can maybe find a little time.
Maybe in the summer. Yeah, kind of open up the summer with a little Buffett. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe we have a Buffett month. We'll do two or three Buffett albums in a month or something.
We say it every year. We never do it. I always pick it. Nobody else picks anymore. So it's okay.
It's hard for me to be critical of Buffett. So, I mean, that's one reason why I don't like to do it as much. Even though I'm not a big critic, but still, even just even trying to put his music into letters and numbers and all, it's hard for me.
Every time we gave any negative criticism whatsoever, I'd have to throw the baby cry out there on Anthony. Wait, he would not like it.
Buffett's tough. Buffett's one that I just, even at his weakest, I still love it, you know, so.
Mass sucks.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
Quack.
I like well, Mass Sucks.
Let's wrap this thing up. For the Audible Ecstasy Podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.
Burning a whole paycheck. Won't you take my blues away? Paycheck. Won't you take my blues away? Yeah, I've been waiting on you since Monday, and it's work, 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 and I need a break. Won't you take my blues away? Should I save it? No, 'cause I'm buying.